Hello, we the people. This is Carmela Ciliberti. Thank you for joining me. On October 26, Representative White introduced House Resolution 240, calling for the impeachment of Larry Krasner. And what is the standard of impeachment? Must there be a finding of criminality? No. The standard as defined by the Pennsylvania Constitution is very broad. It states, all civil officers shall halt their offices on the condition that they behave themselves well while in office and shall be removed on conviction of misbehavior in office or of any infamous crime. The issue, as detailed in the resolution, is this. The Philadelphia District Attorney's Office stated mission is to provide a voice for victims of crime and protect the community through zealous, ethical, and effective investigations and prosecutions. District Attorney Krasner, by and through his failed policies and procedures, and throughout the discharge of his duties as Philadelphia's chief law enforcement officer, has been derelict in his obligations to the victims of crime, the people of the city of Philadelphia, and of this commonwealth. The resolution continues. Under District Attorney Krasner's administration, and as detailed herein, his lack of proper leadership serves as a direct and proximate cause of the crisis currently facing the city of Philadelphia. These policies have eviscerated the district attorney's office's ability to adequately enforce the laws of this commonwealth, endangered the health, welfare, and safety of more than 1.5 million Pennsylvanians that reside in Philadelphia, and the tens of millions of Americans who visit the city every year, and have brought the office of district attorney into disrepute. I would add that Pennsylvania residents living outside the city limits are also in danger. Because as we have seen, the crime is starting to leach out beyond city limits. Now, as with all bills, the resolution must first pass through a standing committee, in this case, the Judicial Committee. The Judicial Committee is likely to accept the House resolution and report it to the House floor. Now, once the resolution is on the House floor, it will be considered on three separate days before the House, with the final vote occurring on the third day. It is very likely that it will go ahead and pass through the House. From there, it will go through the process again in the Senate. It will go through a committee, it will be reviewed 3 days in the Senate, and then it'll be on the third day voted for finally. If successful, the Senate would then need to establish the rules and conduct a trial. Krasner would have to be found guilty by 2/3 of the Senate. Now, is all of this going to happen before the end of this legislative session? No. Further, the resolution must pass the Senate by 2/3, which is highly unlikely given Republicans hold 28 of 50 seats. Half of those Senate seats are up for election. 13 are currently held by Republicans. So we must hold on to these seats and flip a few as well, should we want to reintroduce the articles of impeachment in the next legislative session. Some of the races will be difficult to predict due to redistricting. However, some of the seats not impacted by redistricting and currently held by Democrats are vulnerable. Even though the impeachment will not come to fruition before the end of this session, this activity is bringing forth the truth. It is highlighting the progressive policies failing Philadelphia and the Commonwealth. On October 24th, prior to the introduction of the House resolution, the Select Committee on Restoring Law and Order released its second interim report. Attorney Mark Rush of K&L Gates LLP is responsible for the heavy lifting behind the report. Rush was engaged for the purpose of aiding in the oversight of the Select Committee in several functions. He is assisting in its development of processes for the investigation, identification and analysis of potentially relevant legal issues, investigation of factual and legal leads, consultation regarding the preparation of the Select Committee's findings and recommendations, provision of guidance and aid to the Select Committee as requested by the chairman, and so on. K&L Gates has a major practice in conducting internal investigations, with dozens of its attorneys regularly devoting significant attention to such efforts. Attorney Rush represents the Pennsylvania House and state Republican caucuses. According to his bio, Rush concentrates his practice on domestic and international internal investigations and has coordinated and conducted internal and special committee investigations and due diligence projects within the U.S. and in numerous foreign countries. Currently, Rush represents the Pennsylvania House and Senate Republican caucuses. The point I'm trying to make is that there are seasoned investigators working on this project that produced the results found in this report. It didn't come out of the legislators who were on that committee. Now, the special committee report reiterated its disappointment in District Attorney Krasner and his office's repeated refusal to cooperate with the investigation, but it did not call for nor recommend his impeachment. The interim report considered the various factors surrounding the spike in Philadelphia's violent crimes. Both the district attorney and the police department's performance were evaluated. So no, the committee isn't just out for the DA. While the police department had its share of difficulties, think George Floyd protest, government handling of COVID, and so on, the DA's office has admittedly strayed from its mission, and the results are measurable. And Krasner is not alone in this. He is part of a progressive prosecutor movement. Roland Fryer, an award-winning economist at Harvard University, explains the progressive prosecutor movement and the ideology that underpins it.
There's large racial differences in the fraction of folks who are locked up. And so black people make up whatever, 13 or 14% of the population, much more of the population than federal and state prisons. People want to change that. One idea would be maybe we are prosecuting too much on crimes that aren't really harmful for society. They aren't violent crimes. This is someone coming in and stealing a gallon of milk, things like that. And maybe if we're soft on those crimes, that we can change those differences in who is actually in the representation in prison. You can at least understand that. What they're missing is what, sorry to be talking jargon, but what economists call equilibrium, in the sense of how that actually influences the next stage of decision-making by people who might be engaging in crime. And I come very much from the Gary Becker School of Economics, where crime is a choice variable. It's like any other occupational choice. And so that's what I think that argument is missing, that when you change incentives to commit certain crimes, then the rational response from folks who were on the margin of doing that will change dramatically. They're missing that. But I do understand the want to do more, to have impact, to lower those ratios. I think it's commendable. This wouldn't be my tactic, frankly, but I get the idea.
I have two thoughts when I hear this explanation. One, just to reiterate what Fryer has said here, while the outcome they're seeking is commendable, they're actually making the situation worse because of the perverse incentives that these policies put forth. Two, I would add that while this view is held by some who have a desire to make things better, misguided as their approach may be, others know damn well what they're doing. They are serving themselves by accumulating power. Rafael Manguel, senior fellow at the Manhattan Institute and expert on overcriminalization, adds to Fryer's analysis.
In terms of what the progressive prosecutor movement poses, and that is the risk of more crime as a result not just of changing the decision-making framework of people who see this and now make different choices to commit more offenses because they see the cost as being lower, but also crimes that are the result of our failure to incapacitate dangerous people who are going to offend if they're not incarcerated.
Got that? Not only do these policies incentivize criminal activity, they also fail to incapacitate dangerous people. If you have the time, I would encourage you to listen to the full hour interview with these two gentlemen. It's really quite informative, and the link is in the podcast show notes. With that, let us compare Krasner's mission statement to that of two other DAs in Pennsylvania. First, a Democrat DA out of Chester County. Their mission statement reads in part, "The core functions of the district attorney's office are to investigate, prosecute, and prevent crimes. In partnership with our outstanding Chester County police departments, the Chester County District Attorney's Office uses the most advanced law enforcement investigative techniques, technology, and trial skills to protect and serve the residents of Chester County. It is our duty to uphold and defend the Constitution of the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania and the Constitution of the United States of America. Working together, we will keep Chester County a safe place to live, work, and raise a family." Sounds perfectly reasonable. Now let's go to Washington County for a Republican DA. Their mission statement states that they strive to protect their communities and ensure justice, fairly investigate
and aggressively prosecute criminal activity throughout our county. We zealously enforce the law and the rights of crime victims. Our goal is to keep Washington County safe and secure by effectively working with the entire law enforcement community. We fight for justice in the courts, seek appropriate punishment for those who commit crimes, provide complete assistance to victims of crime, and offer community-based crime prevention programs to educate the public. Again, perfectly reasonable. Now, let's compare that to Krasner's mission statement. A commitment to reform. We are focused on restoring balance to our criminal justice system, ending the era of mass incarceration, and moving beyond the false promises of overly punitive policies. Decades of evidence shows mass incarceration to be an ineffective and costly response to complex social problems like homelessness, mental illness, and substance use disorders, leaving communities with inadequate access to quality public education, health care, and housing, and the worst poverty rate of any big city. Philadelphia can and must do better. We are committed to ending overly punitive practices that disproportionately affect Black people, people of color, and poor people, and in making the criminal legal system actually effective at preventing crime by addressing underlying issues and behaviors. A system that holds people accountable, enables them to show remorse and repair harm, and empowers them to live productive lives after completing their sentences or supervision ultimately makes us all safer. Larry, this is not your job. You are not governor, mayor, senator, nor representative. Your job is to enforce the laws. Criminal justice reform is not your job. Now, you can work within the system with integrity, and this is where prosecutorial discretion comes in. However, you cannot completely flaunt the duties of the job for which the people of Philadelphia elected you to do. Not only does the DA website list this fantastic mission statement, it goes on to list some of their reforms. First, they no longer charge most sex worker offenses. Don't you love the terminology there? Sex worker, not prostitution. Charging for minor retail thefts up to $500 are summary offenses now. Making fewer monetary bail recommendations so that more defendants can seek release on their own recognizance. And seeking more flexibility and smarter alternatives to prosecution based on expanded eligibility requirements for defendants, including mental illness or substance addiction. Larry. Look, I know you want to save the world. I get it. Good for you, champ. I know it's a heavy burden for you to carry, so let me make this easy for you. How about you just focus on doing the job of DA? Then, if you can manage that, perhaps we will promote you to organizing the broom closet. You may not be aware of this, Larry, but there is an organization called the Public Defenders Association that receives about $20 million more dollars annually than your department. They even have as many staffers as your department. Their team includes social workers, paralegals, mitigation specialists, investigators, and administrative professionals who play critical roles serving their clients and communities. And when they say clients, they mean the alleged criminals. And you know what they do. They work with justice partners and stakeholders to support policy changes to change the culture of mass incarceration by working to end cash bail, reform probation and parole detainers, support successful diversion programs, and empower communities to play a more active role in the criminal justice process. They aim to fundamentally change the system to reduce racial disparities and end over-reliance on incarceration and connect their clients to resources. Since this area is already covered, what do you say, Captain America? You want to give this whole law enforcement thing a try? Maybe you can get back to representing your clients, the Commonwealth, on behalf of victims. We the people. Do you see what's happening here? The adversarial system of justice has been effectively eliminated in Philadelphia by Krasner. Can you imagine if the reverse were to take place? Can you imagine if the Public Defenders Association said they were going to zealously protect the rights of crime victims instead of protecting their clients? Predictably, Larry's bad ideas have had deadly results. Now, Larry will whine and say that the Special Committee for Restoring Law and Order's interim report relies on partisan sources. The truth is that the interim report pulled information from multiple sources. It was not based largely on a journal study penned by a prior Republican DA, as claimed by some in the media. The interim report included a review of three studies generated by Philadelphia municipality officials analyzing the increase in crime. Spoiler alert, these studies pointed to Krasner's policies as part of the problem. The interim report also included a comprehensive statewide study on the investigation, prosecution, and sentencing of individuals charged with violations of Pennsylvania's Uniform Firearms Act conducted by Pennsylvania Sentencing Commission. They found that firearm offenses are more common in Philadelphia, and yet the district attorney decided not to prosecute more frequently than in any other county. The interim report also included testimony from former prosecutors who worked for Krasner. One only needs to look at Krasner's personnel decisions to understand how the culture was changed so dramatically under his leadership. First, Krasner purged the Office of Institutional Knowledge. Just 4 months after taking office, city payroll records show that out of 335 prosecutorial staff, investigators, and senior administrative employees, 84 staffers quit or were asked to leave. And again, between January 2021 and March 2022, 120 ADAs left the Philadelphia District Attorney's Office, more than a third of the ADA staff. In September 2021, Broad and Liberty covered a number of staffing issues, from impersonating an officer, stalking, child endangerment, to assault and theft, and none of these employees lost their jobs. But Krasner did at least have the good sense to fire a victim coordinator who shot and killed a male prostitute whom he had solicited during work. He was not charged with murder, as it was determined he acted in self-defense. I'm so sure. Further, Krasner withdrew his office from the Pennsylvania District Attorneys Association, which offers continuing prosecutorial training to ADAs. Krasner instead offered in-house progressive training in its place. In sum, Krasner replaced a third of his staff with greenhorns that he could easily manipulate and isolate from their peers in the field. And what else does bringing in greenhorns do? It protects Larry. Why? Because Larry has no background in this. Prior to being elected as DA, Larry was an independent defense attorney in Philadelphia. He went from a small criminal defense office to that of district attorney with 600 staffers. The man is completely out of his depth, he knows it, and he's covering and manipulating to try and get away with it. And what are the arguments he's using to cover his bad behavior? Well, the ones we all know and love. Trump and the GOP is racist. Let's listen to a few interview clips from Larry.
States that have a rate of homicide that is 40% higher are MAGA states. They are Trump states. 8 out of 10 of the most violent cities are Trump cities. Like, we got to get real about this. Facts matter.
To their credit, Reason TV fact-checked Krasner on his claims. Here's what they found.
Krasner is right that 8 out of 10 states with the highest murder rate in 2020 voted for Trump, and 7 of the 10 were governed by Republicans. But violent crime tends to be a more localized problem. Of the 10 big cities with the highest murder rate in 2020, all were governed by Democratic mayors.
In the same interview, Krasner goes on to compare Philadelphia with a couple other counties throughout the Commonwealth.
When you look countywide, and I ain't making this up, I know it's hard to believe, but it's real, and we got it for you. If you look at the very individuals who are trying to bring about impeachment, what you will find is that during a two-year period when we saw homicides go up 59% in Philly, one of these dudes, it went up 800% where he lives. Another one, it went up 400% where he lives. And the other one, it went up, let me make sure I got this right, it was 800, it was 300, and it was 250%. Those are the people saying we need to look at Philly where it's gone up 59%.
Of course, what Krasner doesn't tell the audience is that the three counties he's discussing together had a whopping 6 homicides in 2019, which increased to 15. Once again, Reason TV provides the facts.
But because those counties all had abnormally low murder rates in 2019, and their baseline murder rates are so low, Their 15 excess murders were more likely to be random statistical noise than the excess 250 murders in Philly over the same time period.
What a disingenuous boob. In a press conference, Krasner tried the "but the GOP is racist" argument out.
What we see here is the same old playbook, which is about coded and racist messaging. It's about blaming the biggest city in Pennsylvania with the most diverse population for having the same national struggle that we have with gun violence everywhere.
This guy isn't even good at making excuses. Not only is the GOP racist, Krasner goes on to say that the GOP wants to erase votes and impeach ideas.
Now let me say something that might surprise you. There's a lot of Republicans who love this country. There's a lot of Democrats who love this country. There's a lot of independents who love this country. And they believe that we should have free and fair and final elections. And they believe that when you don't like the policies of the other side, there's a way to get rid of them. It's called elections. That's how you do it. The consequence of this unprecedented effort to remove from office someone for his ideas, for his policies, ideas and policies that are wildly popular.
Widely popular? I know of at least 1,000 individuals who would disagree. But sadly, they can't speak because they're dead, Larry. And no, it isn't just a GOP thing. The people of Philadelphia have had enough. The problem isn't your ideas. If they were just ideas, people wouldn't be dead. The problem is you have implemented your ideas. Now take a listen to Krasner's response to Fox 29's Mike Jerrick when he presses him.
Reform district attorney, everybody in the country knows that. But maybe it's not working.
It is working. The reality is that
there's 1,000 people killed in 20 months.
It is working.
That's right. Who are you going to believe? Larry Krasner or your lying eyes? It's working, he says. Since our last episode, Philadelphians continue to suffer. I will end with Philadelphia Police Department Commissioner Danielle Outlaw's written comments issued October 12th. Today, shortly after 6 a.m., while serving a warrant on a murder suspect, members of our SWAT unit were fired upon. As the officers were knocking and announcing the warrant, without warning, the suspect fired through a window and door. Three of our brave officers were shot by the assailant, but were still able to return gunfire. By the grace of God, it appears our officers will physically recover from their wounds. The suspect was killed in the exchange. While our SWAT officers are highly trained professionals, this is yet again another cold reminder of the dangers involved in the work they do. Warrant service is always a high-risk assignment, particularly when the suspect is wanted in connection to violent crime. But let me make sure something is perfectly clear. It is not the job of our officers to be shot at. It is not their job to be stabbed, spat upon, accosted, or attacked in any way. And this type of violence towards our police, towards anyone, cannot continue to be normalized. We are tired of arresting the same suspects over and over again, only to see them right back out on the street to continue and sometimes escalate their criminal activities. We are tired of having to send our officers into harm's way to serve warrants on suspects who have no business being on the street in the first place. No. Not everyone needs to be in jail, but when we repeatedly see the extensive criminal histories of those we arrest for violent crime, the question needs to be asked as to why they were yet again back out on the street and terrorizing our communities. I am disgusted by this violence. Our entire department is sickened by what is happening to the people that live, work, and visit our city. Residents are tired of it. Business owners are tired of it. Our children are tired of it. We are long past enough is enough. As your police commissioner, I can promise you this. Our officers will not be intimidated, and we will continue to do everything we can to make Philadelphia a safer place to live. We the people, let us make a promise in return. Let us promise to do everything we can to vote these people out of office, and while they're still in office, to hold them accountable. Thank you for joining me. I would love to hear from you.
Please submit comments or questions through my website, CarmelaCiliberti.com, or call me at 302-584-3594. Want to help build the constitutional conservative movement in Chester County and beyond? Then subscribe to my podcast. It's free, and subscriptions help us get the word out. Thanks again.